afternoon. Thanks for coming back and listen so soon. Bring in the stories of everyday folks while you sit back, relax, have a whisk, coach. Here we go with the Trend Speak podcast, bringing you insight or bringing a laugh. Here's the man who might have a plan. Give it up for your host, Trent Pod Scaland.
It's always this struggle in a way when you're coming off a week where you didn't post a podcast and you're posting it late the following week of how do I deliver content that really makes up for the lack of content that I had from the week before. You know, it's going to sound like an excuse, and it partly is, but part of my problem, and it's a good thing Leanne's not here to chime in the background, is we really only have two spaces within our apartment. We have the bedroom, which just has the bed and closets, literally no other furniture except a nightstand, and we have the living room. Of course, I'm not going to podcast in the bathroom. The kitchen is attached to the living room, so that doesn't really count. And the counter space is always a mess. 99% of the time, it's Leanne's stuff. So I have my own place that I have to set up and tear down anytime that I am recording. So sometimes it is very hard to find that motivation to set everything up, record something, and then tear it all back down so I don't get yelled at by Leanne for creating a mess and leaving my stuff everywhere. Which I get yelled at regardless anyway, so I may as well just start setting it up and going from there. But when I was thinking about whose interview do I pull in for this week, there's a lot to think about. And before I start to kind of share what me and my guests are going to dive into, just remember you can always be a guest here on the podcast as well. Reach out to me, whether it's personally or through my Trent Speaks Instagram or my Trent Speaks Facebook page. Feel free to send me a message, shoot me a text, whatever it is. Everyone has their own story to share. Speaking to you, Topgolf friends who just found out that I have a podcast. So without further ado, I'm excited to bring you this week's guest, Dan. You know, this weekend is when the Big Ten football season kicks off, and so I'm very excited. Go Blue. So it only seemed fitting that that's why I pulled Dan's recording for this week's episode. Enjoy. I'm trying to get away from saying another week of the Trent Speaks podcast, but it's hard to break out of that. Welcome in Dan to the Trent Speaks podcast.
Hey man, thanks for having me. Glad to be here and I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here as well. Dan, you know, we were just talking a little bit beforehand, so many different directions we could even go to start, but I feel like I have to bring it up because we were just talking about it. I'm a big Michigan guy, University of Michigan guy, and you were just saying you graduated from the University of Michigan.
I did. Go Blue.
That's right. It's definitely one of my favorite college towns overall, especially on game day. It doesn't even matter what the game day is. I feel like just the atmosphere of that town itself is fun to be in.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I was fortunate to be here when the Fab Five were playing basketball. So Chris Webber, Juwan Howard, all them, they were actually originally around my dorm hall and they got to connect then. And Michigan football was pretty amazing then back in the day, so to speak. And then having lived back here for 17 and a half years now, and walking around campus all the time, hanging out with the students, going to different sporting events, and in some cases in much nicer ways than I was able to when I was a student, has been a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. Kind of reliving the good old days.
Right. And getting a chance to tailgate and all that, like, don't be wrong. I love it when we win, but I love the school and I bleed maize and blue, and I will certainly enjoy every opportunity I can to tailgate, to hang out, to meet people, and just to be in the energy of the college environment. I love hanging out with the students and having all the fun that comes with it.
Yeah, I had to start out with that right at the top, because I do have some friends who are definitely Michigan fans, but I also unfortunately talk to some Michigan State friends sometimes. So
yeah, well, we forgive them. It's okay. No, I have a lot of friends at Michigan State, and actually a number of clients who went there. And while I will gladly tease them that they shouldn't have went to their second school, and they should have instead went to Michigan. We understand that people have different choices and tastes, and
that's right.
And so they can go do what they like. That's I guess that's just how it works.
Dan, so you are the CEO and founder of Leaders Must Lead. Educate my listeners and myself more in depth than what I'm able to do on research on my own about what Leaders Must Lead is and means to you.
Sure. So Leaders Must Lead is my company that is focused upon helping creatives and entrepreneurs to create and grow profit. That's the super short version, right? There, a little bit longer version is that we're working together, my team and I, to achieve our North Star. And my North Star is to significantly and positively impact the lives of a million creatives and entrepreneurs to give them the foundations of success that they need to achieve their dreams, with the result being that they will then inspire true generational change in the world, so that they will be able to inspire many millions of people, and their lives will change enough that we reduce the larger problems of society, such as racism, human trafficking, poverty, hunger, things like that. And we also have a nonprofit that we're forming called Light from Darkness that is aimed at helping reduce suicide, specifically among students, college and younger, but also, of course, everywhere that we can. And then you asked what it means to me. And what it means to me is maybe the most important of all. I think our why, the why we do stuff in the world, is what matters in such a powerful way. I grew up in a crazy circumstance, and I think so many people did, but I grew up where my first six years of my strongest memories, from age 2 to 8, I was hidden from my father. And then after that, when we came back and my mom and I came back to town, she and I lived in poverty. She was selling herself so that we could have rent. And we came out of that and she got remarried. And then I was exposed to drugs and alcohol and murder and all different types of crazy stuff. And I got to this spot where, when I was a teenager, I just felt hopeless and I felt overlooked. I felt underappreciated. I felt unprepared for the world. And it was at that point that I survived my first suicide attempt. And I came out of it and I looked around and I realized that if you look at your environment, the people you're around, the places that you are, you start to see that that has influence, but it's our choices that truly create change. At the same time, I connected that I needed to make a difference in the world. And I didn't really know what that meant. I just knew that I was supposed to help a lot of people in some powerful way. So I spent the next 25 years looking for what that way would be. I moved through a lot of different parts of my career. I went out and sold straight commission in home sales. I taught hundreds of people to make six-figure selling. Then I moved into more of a strong leadership role and even executive leadership, district manager, regional director. And I spent the last 10 years of it knowing I wanted to do something, still not knowing what, still not being fulfilled, but studying everything I could so that I could help as many as people as possible when the time came. And about 4 years ago, my bosses flew in and they offered me my third promotion in 5 years. I was managing a couple thousand people, $100 million in business. I looked at them, I sat back and I thought in my head, I either need to do it or I need to admit that I'm not going to do it. I don't have 1% of I'm not going to do it in me. And so I said, what would it look like if I declined? And I resigned on the spot and walked away from almost $300,000 a year to go do what I knew I was meant to do in the world, which was form Leaders Must Lead. And that's really where it came from, is that search for fulfillment and that how can I help people. I started doing coaching. I started helping people. I traveled. I've been fortunate to really travel the world and speak. Last year, I traveled with a group called Freedom Summit Global, and we traveled and spoke throughout Asia. And I shared a message that was, dreams are real, overcoming our own objections to create the life we want. And that message hit powerfully, and it hit me powerfully. It made me understand my North Star. It also helped me understand who I needed to serve, which are the people who felt like me, which is why 85% of my clients are women, creatives, or people in the LGBTQ community, because those groups are often overlooked, underserved, and unprepared. And so I have an opportunity to help them. It helped me connect that I needed to be able to scale and help people in a more affordable way. So we built a Foundations of Success platform. And it helped me know that I needed to start a podcast, because everyone's story has power. There is always light through the darkness. And we needed an opportunity to share that and help people understand that truly, no matter where they came from, no matter what they do, their dreams are real. So that's what's behind it for me.
In a snippet. There's a lot to unpack there. So what was that feeling like when you resigned right on the spot? And maybe it's not necessarily what that feeling was like, but I imagine that there had to be some sort of fear of the unknown in a way, or what were you feeling? Because did you know right away, okay, I'm going to jump and start Leaders Must Lead, but even still, it wasn't started yet. So you still have to take time to build it up, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's taken me 4 years to get back to the spot or even close to where I was. So at that point, I didn't think it would take 4 years, because I'm pretty optimistic and I plan pretty well. But I had not yet recognized that I'm a refiner, not a creator. And that creation, while I can do it, takes me forever and drains me. So everything that I'd planned to do took a lot longer than I thought that it would. How did I feel? I, at that moment, felt pretty terrified, but also excited. I've faced a lot of difficult decisions in my life, and one of my core principles is that I will always do what's right, even if it's inconvenient. And when I'm faced with a difficult decision, that's how I do it. And I knew to the core of my being that I don't have a, I'm not going to do it in me. So it was the right thing. Now, how did my family feel? That might be a different conversation. They were like, "You're doing what? I'm sorry." And we had to figure it out. But I knew that I could build the airplane on the way down. I knew I'd gathered the skills. I knew I'd gathered the connections, and I had confidence in our ability to figure it out. And I knew it'd be hard, but I knew it would also be worth it if I could make a difference in even a few people's lives.
So it sounds like you're a go-getter. It wasn't if this is going to happen. It's this is going to happen. I just have to figure out how it's for sure going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I don't really jump into things thinking, I hope this will happen. I jump into things thinking, let's go help this happen. But I also, it's worth noting that it wasn't like this was on a whim. It wasn't like this jumped up at me and I had one moment where I went from, I'm not going to do this, to cool, I'm all in. This is something that had been building for a little while. I share that it all started actually thanks to one of the teachers at my karate school about a year earlier coming to me late night after our karate class and saying, "I think you should listen to a podcast." I credit him for the inflection point in my world, because I went and listened to that podcast, which happened to be Tim Ferriss. And I recognized in that moment that I hadn't been feeding into myself, and that the reason I was frustrated and unfulfilled is because I wasn't filling myself in any way. I started doing that. I got energized. And then I realized, wait a minute, I really have to go do something. And I took the next year to figure out to a large degree what that would look like. So it wasn't spur of the moment, but anytime you get to the threshold, it's just like, it's not spur of the moment to say, I'm going to go skydiving, but you stand on the edge of that plane. And while I'm planning to do that later this year, every friend of mine that tells me that they've done it says they get to the edge of that plane and you still face a decision point, even if you've done all the steps to get there.
So how did you make sure that you were fulfilled with yourself?
Well, I guess fulfilled with myself, I would say that when I look at my life, I recognize that I have certain core principles. One of them is that people matter most and relationships are everything. So I knew that if I focused upon truly helping people who were in need, and I found the important part that I could do that would make a difference in their life that they weren't getting, that I would have an opportunity for that. And for me, it's like any business that you form. And I've helped a lot of my clients form a lot of businesses. You look and say, what is the pain that they're in, or what is the problem that we're solving? Because that's what businesses are based on. They do one of those two things. And then you ask, why isn't it? And you figure out how you can help it. In my case, I added in, who is it not solved for? And that was pretty important. But there was another transition that was critical for me, and it didn't happen. It really didn't happen probably till the last year and a half or so. And that is, my definition of success changed immensely. For all of my career, it had been, I wanted to help more people. I wanted to help more people. And if I could do that, it would be successful. And then I would go do it and it wouldn't be successful. Like I wouldn't feel fulfilled. I wouldn't feel like I was there. What I've recognized now is that success is far simpler than that, and far clearer and far more freeing. That success is living the purpose that you were meant for every day. So that means that I don't have to go chase success. If I'm living the purpose I'm meant for today, I am successful. And it was incredibly freeing. It improved my resonance in the world. My authenticity came through much more clearly, and I relaxed quite a bit. So that was a big part of it.
Would you say that also helped motivate you to kind of keep going and keep pushing forward?
I'm pretty driven to start with, and I'll take motivation wherever I can get it, because I think that resiliency, grit, however you want to term it, is crucial. It's probably the thing that if you're going to be successful, you single most must have. There are lots of other things that are very important, but anything that you decide to do as an entrepreneur, or really anything significant that you do in life, you're going to get punched in the mouth. You're going to get knocked down. It's going to be super hard. And you've got to have that resiliency in you to stand back up and keep moving forward. And for me, what a lot of that looks like is I've trained myself to run to the next failure. Most people say they run towards success. I don't. Don't get me wrong. I like success. I'm not trying to get beat up just for the heck of it. But when people ask me why I've been able to do a lot of the things I have, I say it's because I run to the next failure, and I've had three times as many failures as you. And that means I've learned. That means I've gotten kicked in the teeth three times as many times. So I've also hurt, but I've learned an immense amount, and I've been very fortunate for that.
So, and maybe there's not a typical day, but what does a typical or day-to-day life look like for you?
In COVID, it's in the times of the pandemic, it's strangely enough has become a little more typical. Before that, I would say not so much, although it's like anything else. Anytime you introduce a change to the system oscillates and then returns to its new normal. Before all of the pandemic stuff, I would, in a given month, probably be traveling for a couple of weeks, anywhere in the world, depending. I was supposed to speak in a dozen countries or more this year, and we had that lined up. When I'm in my office, I am almost always meeting with a couple new people a day. I love to build relationships. I said before, people matter most and relationships are everything. And I'm passionate about that. So when I like to meet people, I might have a podcast interview that I'm doing for my own show, and then be guesting on a podcast. And then I'll typically have one or two coaching calls in a day, and I will work on the projects. We are online learning platform, Foundations of Success. And then I might have a couple of calls with members of my team as well. Currently, I have a team of 10, and I meet with each of them once a week and connect with them about what they're working on and help them. So those are common. If as things relax, I will also go out and have lunch meetings, or go maybe meet a couple of my clients in person, and certainly start traveling and speaking quite a bit more again.
So we've mentioned the podcast a couple of times. Talk about what exactly is the name of the podcast? And then if you can talk about the basis of the podcast. So if someone were to tune in, what could they expect to hear?
So the podcast itself is Dreams Are Real, and the R-A-R-E is capitalized. So think of it as Dreams Are Real, really emphasizing to people that your dreams are real. The basis of it, when I began to do a podcast, I was asked to do one for 2 years, and I said, no, I don't want to do one. And it wasn't because I wasn't willing to do it, even though I was a little intimidated by the process and knew I'd have to figure some stuff out, which I didn't love. But it was more that I don't like to do anything that doesn't meet a need. I don't like to do anything that doesn't have an opportunity to be signal instead of noise. When I went on this trip to Southeast Asia, I mentioned I shared this talk about how dreams are real. And as I shared this with the audience, there are a number of things that I shared. And one of them, was the idea that we have this little voice in our head that sounds so adorable, that talks to us and is like, oh, you know, yeah, but you're not bad, but that other person's a little bit better than you, or, oh, you maybe shouldn't do that. And it sounds reasonable, but really it's a complete jerk. I'd probably use more aggressive terms in another situation. And it's also a liar. And one of the things that we can do is we can name that voice that sounds ridiculous and silly, but we can name it. Mine's Harold. And now I can say, shut up, Harold, and I'm not yelling at myself. And we take this out of ourselves and we stop talking down and screaming at ourselves. And I would share that. And no matter what country I shared that in, people would come up and they were in tears and they were connecting with that. And they connected with this idea that they actually could fulfill their dreams. I knew at that moment that I needed to start a podcast. And I came back, and what people will get, when I train the principle that's true everywhere, the practical that's true in your world, and we connect them with story. We do a lot the same with the podcast. First thing I got to tell you, it's an hour and a half to 2 hours long, so it is not short. You can play it on faster speed if you want, but the purpose is to give people a chance to really tell their story. If you want to hear powerful stories from people around the world, we've had people from 20 countries so far, wow, from a variety of careers. We've had 26 different careers from a variety of backgrounds. 30 people have shared their struggles with suicide. People have shared childhood trauma. People have shared super positive, uplifting stories of being on TV and moving forward and changing the world. And we just have an incredible variety. And what they all prove is that no matter who you are, where you're from, what you do, your dreams are real and your story matters. It's the unique thing you have. It's the thing that changes the world, and that there is light from darkness, no matter what your situation. So come hear those stories. And also as you do, what you'll find is at the end of the story, practicals come out of it. What did we learn? Where are we? So you'll find inspiration and hope, but also practical advice of their own learnings that you can take away and be inspired by.
Is there a guest or a story that most stands out to you? I know it's always a hard
question. It's always a tough question. Right.
It's always a tough question for me to answer. So I know it might not just be necessarily one, or it might not be like the most prevalent one, but whatever comes to mind as one of the first ones that you can think of.
Sure. There are so many just incredibly powerful stories. I think of Melissa Hull sharing how she shared from stage for years how she lost her 4.5-year-old son to an accident, and what transitioned and transformed her out of that. And her sharing that on the podcast was super powerful. Hearing so many people come on and share about their stories of suicide, but I also, and brushes with that and coming away. But one that I think stands out to me is an answer to a question that Navy SEAL Larry Yatch gave, where he shares, and I asked him what is normally a really lighthearted question. What's the most adventurous thing that you've ever done? And that's part of our fortunate five that we ask at the end that are almost always really lighthearted. And his wasn't. He looked at me and he said, well, I suppose it was when we had to go into this battle with my team of SEALs, and my responsibility was to tell them that we expected 50% of them to die. And I'm just sitting there like, I don't know what to say now. Right. Wow. I don't know where to go with that. And he told the story, and he told it beautifully, and it was really powerful. That was one of those moments that I just sat there and said, man, these stories, being in the world and the things that people deal with and the things that people come out from, they're so utterly important. And I guess I would say on the flip side of that, there are people that I've connected with and shared that have little influence in terms of like following or anything like that. And I took 10 or 12 of those in the beginning and shared them on purpose. And I knew people who had a large following, but I wanted to prove that everybody's story mattered. And I think of like Tress Hotzel, who's a decision coach locally, who shared the challenges of her childhood and coming out of that. All of these things, I'm so honored by people being willing to share.
I don't know if you've found this at all or if you've recognized this before, but one thing I've recognized as I'm talking to people is when people can be vulnerable. And so I know you had talked at the beginning of the podcast about how you had a really rough childhood, and about your suicide attempt and everything. And do you find that as you share your story and open up to people, and as other people hear other people's stories and everything, there's this domino effect where people start to become a little bit more vulnerable because they're like, all right, well, if this person is going through that, or okay, if they're talking about that, then I feel comfortable talking about that as well.
100% true. And I'm glad that you asked that. It's one of the reasons that we share, is to help people see the power that their story can have. And they do that because part of what we share resonates with them. And when they see, wait a minute, this person has the courage to share, this person's willing to share, and this person by sharing changed other lives, maybe that listener thinks, I can do the exact same thing. My story has power. My story matters. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's something to be shared. It's something to use to help others. One of our guests and one of my friends, Tiffany Largy, she's one of the best at sharing her story in the world and teaching others to do the same. She says that our story is filled with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And most people will share the good and the bad, but it's the ugly where all of the wins come from. So if you can get to that point of vulnerability and authenticity and really connect, that's where the change happens.
Yeah. And I often, when I'm talking to people about that, I always tell people, it's not like you have to go out and spill every single little thing onto social media or spill every little thing. Like it's baby steps. And I think that's what people don't realize, is you don't have to come out with a word vomit of every single ugly thing that's happened to you. But if you can just go one at a time, and I always talk about hiding behind a mask and trying to break down that mask and everything, and to really think about the reasons of, okay, well, why is it that you don't want to share that? Like what is the reasoning of what's holding back of I'm going to keep this personal to me and myself?
Yeah, I think it's important to understand that not everybody needs to do it the same way, that not everybody needs to share the same amount or in the same place. It's recognizing that your story has power and figuring out the best way to connect that for you. And also to say, and I think this is worth noting, that this is not a mistake, everybody's story has power. Sometimes people might be listening to this and go, well, I haven't had a suicide attempt. I haven't had these things. I don't know about my story. I don't care what your background is. Your story has power. It's what you went through. It's what's unique to you. And share that. It doesn't have to be a long, sad, hard story. Some of them are, but not all of them. Some of them are stories of joy and light, and that matters as well. Now, your mindset and your attitude, your demeanor about how you share, that can certainly matter. But yes, don't be overwhelmed by it. Don't feel like you have to do it like somebody else. Put your toe in the water if you feel you need to, and help break down those barriers. I like to say this, that if whatever you decide you're going to do in life, pick one thing that you can do within 24 hours, no matter how small, but that you know that you can accomplish. And that will help. If you do that thing, that will help you overcome the momentum of zero. And you will then understand that motion trumps emotion, and you'll move forward.
Dan, before we get into my Trent Speaks questions, I just want to ask, since we're on the topic, if people are interested in finding the podcast or supporting you, how can they find the podcast? How can they support you?
The podcast is easy. It's Dreams Are Real. You can find it on any of the platforms. The easiest way to find it would be to come to our Dreams Are Real Facebook group. So that's a pretty cool place to go. You can also find me and connect with me on Facebook, LinkedIn under my name or Leaders Must Lead, and look at leadersmustlead.com. That'll link you to all of the different things we do. It'll link you to the Foundations of Success platform where we have free classes. It'll link you to all of the other fun places in our social media, but I love to connect. I love relationships. So reach out.
Dan, so through everything, through the podcast, through starting and successfully running thus far, Leaders Must Lead, what is it that you've learned about yourself?
Well, one, I've learned that I'm a refiner, not a creator. I've definitely learned that I'm very good when there's something like give me a blank page and I'll be in pain. Give me a small outline on the page and I can make it magical. That's one. Secondly, I have been reminded so powerfully of the importance of team. My team is my life. They're incredible. I love them. They're passionate about our vision and our mission. And I really couldn't do what I do about them. And I learned that I can work alone. I can work as part of a team. I certainly prefer the team part, but I learned that going from one to the other within the same company was really hard for me and I wasn't quite prepared. And so I hit some bumps on the road there, but I learn every day. I preach a growth practice that we should do every day. And I believe you're either getting better or worse. And if you think you're sitting still, you're going backward, and I refuse to lose a day. So I learned something about myself every single day.
What would you say has been the most impactful event or moment of your life that's either shaped who you are today or gotten you to where you are today?
It's a tough question. There are probably 8 or 9 inflection points that I would call out, but the first thing that came to my mind was the passing of my mother. When I was 25 years old, my mother had been sick and we had to come back and turn the machines off. And my mother gave up almost everything in her life for me. And she gave that up. And I stand here on her shoulders today for the sacrifices that she made. And I am grateful for it every day, every week, every month. In fact, on that tour through Asia last year, my talk, a lot of it was about her and what she'd done for me. So I would say the fact that she's not here in person, but knowing what she gave for me so that I could be, was probably the most transformational moment.
Dan, what do you want people to take away from this podcast? So when people, whether it's something that you've talked about within the last half hour, or maybe it's something that hasn't been talked about, what is it that you want people to take away from you when they listen?
That's pretty simple. People matter most. Relationships are everything. And dreams are real. That's the short version. The longer version, but not too long, is this. You matter. That wherever you are, whatever you are doing, you matter. Your story matters. Your light matters. You have an incredible opportunity to be incredible in the world. And you are serving people and connecting with people and impacting people exactly the way that you are. And while you will continue to grow and you will continue to move on, it's just important to know that you matter and your dreams truly are real.
Sometimes I wish I could just cut the podcast right at the end of what people are saying. That was very well said. Dan, thank you so much for coming on and being a guest on the Trent Speaks podcast.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
Yeah, of course. My favorite thing to do at the end that I started doing probably a couple months ago is to actually turn the podcast over to you and to let you do your own sign off for the podcast. So there's no set script or anything. You can say whatever the heck you want to say, but it makes your podcast. So go ahead and do the sign off for us.
I think the sign off is very simple. I love all of you. Everything you do matters, and always know in your life that dreams are real. Goodbye, everyone, and enjoy.